Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. It's Mr. Mick Jagger wailing in the background there. I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim's an old friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's sitting in for Joan Pryde today. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger editors, and that's what we're doing this hour. We're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Welcome back, and a jumping Jim Flash here to help out.
I'm glad to have you here, Jim. It's always a lot of fun to have you on our show. And you guys are kind of in the dog days of summer there in Washington, D.C., aren't you?
The deep dog days of summer. Temperatures have been near 100 degrees now for well over a week.
And yeah. And the humidity, the swamp is delivering lots of humidity there, isn't it?
You can cut it with the proverbial knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very thick. But the good news is Congress will be adjourning very soon.
You know, Jim, I've said this 100 times on the show before, I always feel a little safer in August than any other month because that's the only time that I know of that they're gone. I'm not sure. Maybe you're in the Christmas holidays, but typically they're only gone. This is the month when they're gone, actually a little more than a month.
A little more than a month.
And they're out in the hinterlands, out in their districts, and they're not gaggled together creating mayhem in Washington, and I always feel a little safer.
And so too did Will Rogers, I must say, who once remarked, "You know, I feel about Congress the same way I do about a baby getting hold of a hammer." So.
I don't think I've ever heard that one,
yes,
Jim. That's pretty
Will
good.
Will Rogers, yes.
You don't hear things like this on any other show, folks. Only
no, you
have
don't.
To come to the Small Business Advocate Show.
We
to get
try
this
harder.
Done. Hey, Jim, and we're going to talk about some of the things that they're going to be doing as they wrap up their session this week. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the hour. But the lead story this week in the Kiplinger letter, the weekly flagship Kiplinger letter, is that even though there are some clouds maybe on the horizon, basically the economy's doing okay, isn't it?
It is, and it is a resilient economy, and it surprises people time and again. And this is a surprise, but here again, for the naysayers who look for things to wind down, it wrong. It is strong and getting a bit stronger.
Well, it is, and the thing that that continues to amaze all of us, I think, Jim, is how the economy withstood the hammer. You used the term hammer. We got hammered in 2000. We got hammered in 2001. Then we had we've had a number of other little things that have happened over the last few years. And this economy not only took some body blows and withstood those, but it's actually coming back strong with a more fundamentally sound recovery than we had the last time.
Well, that's the point. And again, it looks at these things. It does what's necessary, and that's what we see here. That why the economy made number of very important sort of restructuring after the last recession, and it is more resilient here. People were looking for high pump prices to really put a dent in our economy and growth. It hasn't happened. Not much.
That's the big surprise for me. I've always been pretty impressed with and have never minimized the economy. The way this economy works, the way our free market system works, has always impressed me, and I've never been all that surprised. But I have been surprised at how little of an impact $60 a barrel oil, and now that we've had this high oil price now for over a year.
That's right.
Well over a year. So it's not like it has hasn't had time to sink in to take an effect. But it's impressed me how well this economy has handled it, and even though, Jim, economists will tell us that in terms of GDP, petroleum is about half of the GDP percent that it was, say, 20 years ago.
Right.
Still, consumers have to stop and fill up, and $2.30-$2.40 a gallon of oil, or gasoline, I should say, is not hurting the economy that bad. And I don't understand that.
Well, one thing here is that, by and large, of course, people are, by and large, are better economically than they were 10, 20, or more years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But because Kipling has looked into this, and we say, well, why not? Why hasn't this not hurt more? And one thing is somewhat a change in behavior, you might say, of vast portions of people. And they say, well, I'm just going to go, I'm going to do the smart thing. I'm going to combine trips. Rather than going out every day or two or whatever to the market or shopping, I'm going to combine trips and I'm going to do this. So by and large, we've, you know, it has not really dented their spending.
Well,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, certainly for people on fixed income or lower wages, it has made some more...
Those people are hurt disproportionately, aren't they?
That's correct. But overall over here... people are, I mean, the economy is solid, rock solid, people doing fairly well, and they're just adopting, or I assume they are adapting in their own way, and it's combining trips and doing other things. So overall, we're more than muddling through.
Well, and another indicator of a good economy is that Kiplinger reports this week that corporate earnings are remaining strong.
They certainly are. That's it, and that is a bellwether, of course, of our economy. And again, those who there was some saying, well, you know, second half of this year, and we're going to see a real downturn, and we're going to see the evidence of that come results for the first half and the second quarter, particularly. It hasn't happened. They're doing fine. And
I read an article recently that said corporations not only are they doing well, but they're hoarding cash. Which is to say, they're not spending money, and that's one thing that's a little bit of a concern to me, Jim. If they're hoarding cash, that means they may not be investing in next year and the year after, in plans for the next couple of years. I wonder what that means.
All right, the reason Kipling believes is that companies are just, by and large, just being a little more cautious now. What with, you know, forecast by others earlier in this year that a downturn was dead ahead. So they're doing the responsible thing, the thing they feel they need to do under this Sarbanes-Oxley law.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just holding back a little bit, waiting to see what's ahead.
Trust in God, but keep your powder dry anyway. Stand by, Jim Ostroff. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we will be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do that it will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and sitting in for Joan Pryde today. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the economy right now, Jim, and one of the things that that we were talking about is how surprising that the fuel prices haven't had more of an impact. The economy is going to be clicking along. You know, they keep edging it up a little, Jim. It looks like the economy is going to wind up in the 3.5-3.6 range percent of growth this year, which is just absolutely solid growth. It's not overheated. It's not under what it ought to be. I mean, anywhere between 3.5 and 4 is just as solid as it can be, and yet you guys point out this week that if it weren't for the oil situation, that the economy might be approaching the levels that we had in the late 90s.
That could be. I mean, we believe it would be.
I think believe it or not, not that the oil prices are a good thing, but I don't think we need to be growing in the 4% range.
And in fact, I'd say that's what the Federal Reserve, Mr. Greenspan, and others see here. And they say when it gets up to, there's a chance it's going to grow beyond 4%, then that raises a specter here of overheating.
Right.
Which distorts a lot of economic activity and which, of course, ensures that things will turn down faster at some point.
So, well, it creates the opportunity for people to do what they did in the 1990s, which is to try to suspend the laws of economics, which is to try to do something that we actually did, believe it or not, and this actually happened. I couldn't believe it happened in my lifetime. But the economists that I know, Jim, say that in the late 90s and into summer 2000, we actually were overemployed, meaning we had more people employed than we really should have.
That is a good term and a good point. And we did go beyond any semblance of sort of natural employment,
mm-hmm.
Which of course means that by and large companies were in many places and cases desperate for workers. And
Jim, in a lot of ways they still are.
Well,
not for bodies, but the right people. That's one of the challenges small business owners have right now.
Absolutely. There are numerous areas and sectors where there are not enough, let's say, qualified and
right.
experienced people. And that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. That can make or break a company, and we know that.
And exactly. And it's one of the reasons why more and more companies are turning to automation. They're turning to technology to leverage their business model rather than human beings. And small business owners are doing this very well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about consumers a little bit. Consumers have been the hero through this whole recovery, haven't they?
Give them a badge. Give them a star. They have been. They have really performed magnificently here, despite the effect of higher gas prices. And
I'm still amazed at that. Now, that's still even the, you know, I mean, if you've got a regular size SUV, you could be spending $50 a tank easy filling up nowadays.
No problem.
If you've got 22-gallon tank of gas, gas tank, which some of the larger cars, not even an SUV, has. You're looking at high 40s to fill up every time. It's just amazing to me.
Absolutely.
How the economy and I think this just is an indicator of how the overall economy is. You know, unemployment right now is around 5%.
That's right. It's pretty strong. I mean,
yeah.
The overall employment situation is very good. Economy is strong. And it just points, after all said and done, this points up the fact that by and large, you know, consumers, people, our citizens are in a better situation than they have been in decades or
mm-hmm.
perhaps ever
mm-hmm.
in terms of their ability to spend and produce.
And, you know, Jim, when you overlay our experience with what's going on in Europe, for example, where the average unemployment in the European Union is around 10%.
It's around 10%.
Some nations over that, obviously. Germany, I think, is over that, maybe Italy. And the growth rate, whereas ours is about 3.5 or 6 this year, theirs is going to be under 2, maybe more like 1.1%.
That's right. But they, by and large, have 5-6 weeks annual leave every year.
Yeah.
It's paid,
yeah.
They have everything. And that is true. Europe just continues to lag and, in fact, is falling further and further behind the rest of the world. Excuse me.
They're not being competitive. Their management systems, their employment systems are defective, and they're 20th century systems. And here's to me what the difference is, Jim. In America, we had those systems too, but they were corporate mandated. They weren't government mandated. So when the world changed, corporations were able to change without passing any laws. In Europe, most of these things are mandated by the government, and that's the reason why they're having trouble getting rid of those. Stand by, Jim Ostroff. Quick break, right back after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Yep. he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's sitting in for Joan Pride. Jim's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors and has a long and significant background as a journalist. Jim, give us an idea about some of the things you've done in your prior to coming with Kiplinger.
Oh, prior to coming here, I worked for about 20 years as a reporter in Washington, where I still am. And as I say, basically, I was the White House reporter from the Carter through first Bush administration, and through the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. Why did I forget that? And and basically covered Congress as well as all the alphabet agencies.
You've interviewed some pretty important people in your life, haven't you?
Well, I suppose everyone, including Ronald Reagan, who was thoughtful enough afterwards to give me a call at home one night just to say thanks. I appreciated your time.
Now think about that. Now when did you interview him? This was after he was president, though, right?
This was during his presidency.
During his presidency?
It was in 1987, and.
Okay.
At that time, it was a large article for Life magazine.
Right.
And after it ran a couple of days later,
he called you at home. The President of the United States called you at home.
Called me home. Wife and I were having dinner.
You've told this story before, and I love this story, yes. So tell it again. The phone rang, and what happened?
The phone rang, and some woman
came on, and I answered.
Yeah. Just in the middle of dinner, got up, and I figured, this is a junk call, junk call. Before, do not call us, and some woman got on the line and said, excuse me, this Jim Ostroff? I said, yes, and she says, this is the person who wrote the article on Life magazine about the president. I said, yes, and she says, well, please hold, I have an important call for you. At which point, I thought it was a friend of mine who was making fun.
Making a joke.
And they got
on
the line.
Your wife says, who is it?
Yes, who is this? Then he says, hey, Jim, is Ronald Reagan here? And I was about to tell him to go to heck when I realized
you said my pork chops are waiting on me.
And my wife says, who is this? At which point my voice failed and I went, well, I regained my voice and my footing and we spoke for about 10 minutes. But
wow.
He called basically just to say thank you and he appreciated my time. And I said, Mr. President, where are you? Well, I'm here in the Oval Office now, and I'm just finishing some paperwork.
I'll be darned.
But that was typical. It's very typical of the man, and we shall not see his like again.
No, he was a rare individual, and I'm proud to know you, someone who has had that experience, and thank you for sharing that story.
I know you
did that once before on the show, but I love that story, and it gives us a little bit of a peek into the kind of human being that Ronald Reagan was. He certainly is one of my heroes, no question about that. Jim, let's move over and talk about taxes. Now, this is one of the issues that's on the table for Congress this week, isn't it, the estate tax?
It certainly is. They're looking at some repeal of the estate tax, and we feel this will occur this year or next year. And basically what they're doing
is permanent repeal, not a phase out, not a partial, but a full permanent repeal.
Full repeal until Congress looks at it again. But that's it. It's not a phase out. It's not something as we've seen in some other things where they do it for a few years and then say, but we'll come back to it. No, Congress is looking at a full repeal of estate taxes.
And you know, Jim, I had Giovanni Cortolo on the show earlier this week with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. and he said the House was going to vote on this week, and either they were or they already had, I'm not sure, and their version was a full repeal, not a compromise.
No, they're absolutely. On the Senate side, they're a little antsy here about the cost of this and, their concerns about deficits in the future, which is what they often do and usually do. And it's the same. We've seen this time and again, other legislation from highway bill to energy bill. But we do this will happen, and it may not be an across the board blanket repeal. But the bottom line is that there'll be less of a bite from Uncle Sam beyond the grave.
Well, and even if we don't get full repeal this time, but we get some level of repeal, even if it is a compromise, we might what we as a friend of mine said, we might not like the numbers, but we got to like the trend. And I agree with that. And I'll tell you, folks, supply side economics works, no question about it. And this is another little lever that we could add to supply side economics by repealing the death tax. It's ridiculous. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. All my friends are small town. Children play in the park. They don't know I'm alone in the dark, even though time and time again I see your face smiling inside. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm so happy to be here. I don't know what to do. Jim Ostroff is our guest. I'm awfully happy to have him here, too. He's one of our outstanding Brain Trust members and a great contributor to all the things that we do. And I know you join me in saying thank you to Jim for all he does for us, not only when he's on the show, but also when he's writing for Kiplinger. A lot of the things, if you subscribe to Kiplinger's letters, if you go to their website, a lot of the stuff you see has been generated by Jim and his hard work. And Jim, we thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your comments. You make me smile.
And let's, I want to remind folks about that website, folks. By the way, it's Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger.com. It's a lot of good stuff there. I go there all the time just to use the basic stuff, even though I am a subscriber and I can get back into the bowels of the website if I want to. But also, don't forget their publications. They have a number of them, the weekly flagship letter, the Kiplinger letter, is the one that Jim and Joan and I work off of every week. And then they have three biweekly letters, the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and the California letter. And then there's a magazine that comes out every month, and it's on newsstands. It's also available by subscription. Jim, what's the name of that magazine?
Yeah, that's Kiplinger's Personal Finance.
It's a good one.
The originator of personal finance magazines,
right,
going back to the 40s.
Absolutely. Back to 1948 or 9, I think, in called The Changing Times in those days. And you can subscribe on the website, but also there's a phone number, Jim, right? You got that?
There is, and let me just provide that. It's toll-free, and it's 800-544-0155.
And don't forget, I think they've still got a 30-day free trial.
We do.
So check that out, and folks, you won't regret it. And by the way, the letters come either electronically or by snail mail. You can get it electronically on Friday, and then on Monday you'll get the week's letter in the mail. Jim, another bill that's going to be on the president's desk, if it hasn't already gotten there this week, is the energy bill. They've been working on this thing for 4 or 5 years, haven't they?
For 4 years, and it has been sidetracked every year until now by partisan political issues that had nothing to do with energy. But you know what? The wise people on Capitol Hill said, we have to do something now. They're getting political heat here, and there's concern about things getting worse in the future. So they finally have said, we're being serious, and we're going to try to help make the United States a bit less dependent on foreign sources down the line and more energy efficient as well.
There are going to be some tax credits for renewable energy like solar and wind.
Solar, wind, geothermal.
Hybrid vehicles.
That is correct. Right, right. And
according to Kipling, if you buy a hybrid vehicle, if the law passes, you will be able, the current $2,000 tax deduction will go up to $2,400 if you buy a hybrid vehicle.
That is correct, yes, up to that. And again, it's an incentive here to spur this the growth of this really not novel but very good technology.
Will drilling in Anwar be part of this package? The Alaska National Wildlife Refuge.
No, unlikely.
Sadly,
we expect it will be approved on a separate budget resolution coming up by fall.
Okay.
So it likely will occur.
We need to go get that oil out of Anwar, folks. No little bunnies or deer are going to be hurt. Bambi and Thumper are going to be just fine.
They will be fine, and it will be about 10 years before we see that oil.
Right.
But
we got to get started with it.
We got that.
And you know what? The people in Alaska whose land Anwar belongs to, basically, it's their environment. They want this, don't they?
They're the staunchest supporters of this.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They've seen the benefits previously.
And there are a bunch of other things going on. This is a very busy week for Congress and for the president. So, folks, pay attention to what's going on. There a lot of milestones are going to be accomplished this week legislatively, and it's going to be exciting to see what all the things that happen. Jim, one of the things that you guys point out in the business outlook section of the letter this week is that retail sales are going to be pretty solid this year, 5.5% growth.
Again, defying the logic, the common logic that was out there the early part of this year when people were saying, hey, the economy is going to really weaken, retail sales are going to fall. I mean, they're going to be just barely on life support. And you know what? They're strong, and they're getting stronger towards the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, function of the economy and the fact that people are spending even though gas prices are high.
And apparently, this is very interesting, Jim. You guys report that, Kiplinger reports this week that retailers are going to have, even smaller retailers are going to have better access to weather forecasts that will help them make decisions on the kind of seasonal inventory that they want to carry.
That's right. There are a number of private forecasting firms that whose specialty is providing forecasts, whether it be not only for the next week, but one and two seasons ahead, to give them a heads up about whether there will be unseasonably hot or cold weather or more rain or less snow. And that will help companies better plan, you know, their buying strategies and their sales strategies.
Right.
Which is critical because bad weather can kill sales by 10% even.
Right.
Especially
if you've got that inventory sitting there, and it's this year's model of seasonal inventory, clothes or a snowmobile or whatever it might be, you might want to tap into some of these weather forecasting firms, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 10 till. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new issues in healthcare and financial services. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Carl Perkins singing in the background. That's Jim Ostroff on drums there, by the way. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Jim, let's talk about this new information that you have here in the letter about healthcare mini plans. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. Basically, this, as we all know, you know, healthcare is a big and bigger, getting bigger issue in our country. And given rising costs for all sorts of healthcare, there are many people who just really cannot afford the standard insurance that's offered to them. And there are many people who work, could be part-time or elsewhere, that it's just not available. Well, we have healthcare companies, United Healthcare and the various blues, you might say, Blue Cross Blue Shield, that now are looking at a novel product, and that is a bare bones healthcare, which at least will help and tide people over, for many of the routine type of ailments, where right now, even a sore throat, well, I don't go to the doctor. And here's an opportunity for them to get very low cost healthcare that'll help.
These are some new products that are becoming available. And, Jim, another piece of legislation that's going through right now, the Shattuck bill, it will allow individuals to buy insurance across state lines. Somebody in New York who can't afford to buy insurance because there's so many mandated requirements by the state that every policy must carry podiatry, for example, or something stupid like that, for not that podiatry is stupid, but you know, what if I don't want that, I shouldn't have to buy that. And so therefore, if I live in New York, maybe I can't afford it, but I can buy a from Arizona, a company in Arizona, and avoid all that and save a lot of money and become protected. That's something that's going out right now, going around that right now, and we want to pay it. We want to track that, folks, and make sure that we encourage our members of Congress to vote for that bill. That's something that's going to be very important, and I think could be the forerunner. It could be the nose under the camel's nose under the tent for association health plans, or what's called small business health plans now by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Let's move down and talk about financial services. Online banking. Banks are feeling the need to build a little more trust in their online systems, aren't they?
They are. Obviously, they, as well as others, are concerned about those out there who are fishing to steal, you know, the financial service information from us. Hello.
And
that for banking as well as even online retail sales is really a great concern. So they are doing things to improve, you might say, security. Give people more security here, and it'll work.
Well, and more people are doing online banking. We do online banking here in our office, and we like it. It helps us a lot. It does.
Many people love it.
Convenient for us.
People love it. There's some concern about going online and having stuff stolen, but the banks particularly are moving very strongly here now to really buck up security.
Well, and think about this. I mean, we're in the pioneer days of a lot of this stuff that we're working on, and for it to work as well as it does, to me, it still amazes me. I mean, over the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be... The technology is going to be such that we won't even think about it. It'll be like, I mean, well, let me put it this way: Would you rather take a little bit of chance of something going wrong with your online banking and doing it at home, or would you rather take the chance of getting in your car and getting run over on the way to the bank? You know, life is a risk. You got to deal with it. Jim, let's move over quickly and talk about telecom. You say that cheaper and better cell phone services on the tap for cell phones.
Yeah, they are, and it just the way the market is moving, and the huge investments up to $25 billion a year to beef up infrastructure to make sure that, you know, the calls are not dropped perhaps as often as they are, and which is why we feel, you know, within about 5 years, 80% of all U.S. households will own a cell phone.
Absolutely, and probably a high percentage of those, it'll be their only phone.
Change in paradigm, and that is the case.
And voice over IP, internet telephone, you say that's still not quite as elegant as it needs to be.
That's correct, but the fact that it is such an advantage, relatively low cost, and of course can be used anywhere, is driving sales, and things are being done to improve the quality of voice over internet phone calls, and that is set to grow very strongly as well in the next few years.
Right. We've talked about this on the show quite a bit before, and we will again. Jim Ostroff, thank you for being here today. Good job today.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you very much. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, he will be back next week, in fact. We'll see you next week, Jim. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.